It's Carmen and Yurko.
Sports talk while you're on the clock.
Do I exaggerate?
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
DJ with you. The sun is shining here in Glendale. Temperatures in the 60s. Brewers and White Sox. It'll be the first of 29 Cactus League games for the White Sox. They're now managed by Tony La Russa. Nice to see Tony La Russa back in a White Sox uniform wearing number 22 in the home dugout.
Very excited when I thought about it for a few minutes after the fact that we signed Tony to come on as our manager. I thought about it, go, okay, that's a direction I didn't see coming. But when I had it settle in, I realized I love the move. So I'm excited to see what he can do this year with this club.
No current Major League player was alive when Tony began his big league managerial career in 1979.
All right, stop it. Don't go there. You're talking about age. I'm not a young kid anymore. I was around back then.
Well, we're on a 3-2, and Engel pops one deep to left, back toward the wall. It's gone. That is a two-run homer for Adam Engel, and the White Sox are on the board, trailing 3-2. That was a bullet.
How great was that yesterday? And it's going to continue to be great. Len Casper and DJ on the call. To have Len as the voice of the White Sox back on our air on ESPN 1000. First time since 05, the last time they won the World Series, is a thing of beauty. And the result from yesterday, a six-inning game in spring training at the end of February against the Brewers, doesn't really matter too much, especially because it wasn't a very regular lineup. Lineup today is a little bit more regular. We've got our second broadcast tomorrow afternoon, by the way. It was just fun to watch baseball for, you know.
What do they do now?
Yesterday afternoon.
What do you do now? You get your work in. Pitchers are building arms. Get your work in. Some days it's all fastballs. I don't want you to throw anything else but fastballs. All day, build your arm. Get your work in, Carm.
It's great to see the sun shining and even people in the stands a little bit socially distanced. They've got, you know, boxes out in the outfield where people can sit. Yeah, it was kind of nice. They have it on the lawn.
Carm,
yes.
Were they rectangular?
They were rectangular,
were they
yes.
6 feet apart from each other?
They were.
Did they have, like, a measuring stick to make sure?
I'm sure whomever went out there and measured it, did, you took a measuring stick.
They were outdoors. Yeah. Were they double masking out there?
I don't know about that, but.
Just asking. I don't
know what
Fauci's saying this week.
It changes every week. It was such a sight for sore eyes. I mean, it really was to see baseball, to listen to it, to have it back. And it's, you know, I'm so excited about the Sox. Let's get out to the Corona hotline. We say hi to their assistant GM and director of player development, one of their former players whom we've talked to in the past. Chris Getz joins Carmen and Yurko now on ESPN 1000. And Chris, thanks as always for the time. How are you? Nice to have baseball back, isn't it?
No, I'm doing great, and I would agree with that. To watch a game yesterday and get a glimpse into some normalcy, I'll take it. Absolutely. So I'm doing well, guys. Thanks.
Absolutely. And, you know, I heard DJ yesterday talking about Tony, and he probably was a little bit more diplomatic about it than maybe my reaction as a diehard White Sox fan when this whole thing started back, you know, after last season ended. I was floored. I couldn't believe it. To me, Tony La Russa just didn't make any sense. But I have to admit it seems like everybody has kind of bought in, Chris, and that Tony, even himself, for everything he's accomplished, has sort of come in and he said to these guys, look, I'll prove to you that I can be your manager. I mean, has he done everything and then some when it comes to embracing the new things that are part of this game in 2021?
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, when he came on board and, you know, he started building relationships, whether it be, you know, further building within the front office, certainly the putting together the coaching staff or guys that have been here before, and then the players. And then, you know, watching them go through the off season, having regular meetings, preparing for spring training. He's working off of a blueprint, obviously, that has worked for him, but also, you know, he's still been around the game, and he's certainly evolved since the last time he's managed. So you're looking at a guy that has continued to grow, and just as I look back at the off season, now spring training getting off and going, and how he's operated, it's been very impressive and fun to be around.
How much do you guys enjoy all the expectations right now? Sometimes that can be hard for teams, but your group seems to have really embraced this idea that you might be the best team in the American League.
Well, you know, fortunately last year we were able to have some success. You know, some of these young players get to the big leagues, get a taste of it, have some success. Am I going to be able to do this? They start working together. They start winning together. This whole realization that we can go out there and win, and win a lot of games, go into the playoffs and take it even further than that. That's the hope. And, you know, these guys are loose. They have fun together, but they show up each day and get their work in. You don't want to get caught up in the noise and those perhaps outside expectations, to accomplish internal expectations about the work in you put on a daily basis. And I've seen it work so far. So exciting.
You got a ton of arms out there. How are you going to get innings for all those arms?
Well, you know, we've got the way that they've adjusted the spring training schedule, I think, is favorable for the guys we want to get ready for the season. We've got time here. We want to pace it out so the guys are ready to go opening day. They'll get their work in. If it isn't in the game that we're watching on a daily basis, they'll have their live sessions. We'll create B games, inter squads, whatever you have to do to get these guys ready to go.
Is Michael Kopech going to be a starter, work out of the pen? How are you guys putting all that together, Chris?
Really, we mapped this out initially. Let's get Michael in here. Let's get him comfortable and build him from there. We feel that the bullpen is a place for him to comfortably get going there, have some early success, and build from there. Not too dissimilar from a Garrett Crochet, so to speak. But Michael has looked very good. He's a guy that, although he wasn't part of the team yesterday or last year, his work ethic is so strong. He's in great shape. You're seeing the stuff we've seen in the past. So we'll continue to build towards, opening day here. You get one inning, you get two innings, and we'll kind of go from there.
So if you start him in the pen and in May you decide, hey, we might want to go ahead and stretch him out and turn him back into a starter, how long would that take during the season to stretch him out to a starter?
Well, it's really one inning at a time. You can get creative. You know, there might be a start that, you know, that shows up and you want him to go three innings there, but then you map it out where he's coming behind someone a little bit later. You know, it doesn't, in terms of saying that he's going to be a starting pitcher at some point, there's really no reason to do that. But there's certainly a progression just like anyone else. You get one inning, you get two innings, you get three innings. Hey, he's due to now go four innings, and before you know it, you're five. We've got to monitor the workload just based on last year and then coming off of Tommy John prior to that. So, you know, we'll be able to do that throughout the season, the communication with the training staff, how he's recovering between outings is very important, and we'll just kind of go from there. But it's doable. Just to have him part of this pitching staff is going to make us better.
And mentally, is he in a pretty good spot, Chris?
He is. He just had a son, as most people know. And, just talking to him about that, I think that is really, going to be helpful for him. But now that he's back out here and he's competing, he was missed. I know he missed the game, and just to have him around the guys now and looking forward to seeing how this unfolds.
Assistant GM, White Sox assistant GM Chris Getz joining us. Kerman and Yurko on ESPN 1000. How tough was it last year on the development for young players with no minor leagues?
It was a challenge. You feel for these guys. I mean, I was watching the game yesterday, and you see any of the pitchers, the Bennett Seuses of the world, the Kyle Kubots of the world, Jake Berger, Andrew Vaughn. We were fortunate to get a lot of these players at the alternate site. We were fortunate to get some of these guys at instructional league, but nothing can really replace a full minor league season. I think our coaches did a great job staying in touch with our players remotely. We were still able to work towards some goals, but there's nothing like standing in the box or the mound and feeling your heart pump a little bit and the emotional side of the game. So, we need to have that back, but yesterday was a step forward, and we'll continue to go. There's no excuses here. We're just gonna continue to move forward and believe in our guys.
You mentioned Andrew Vaughn, and I think Tony La Russa last week, said it might not be in pen. It's in pencil right now, but that's probably the opening day DH. I mean, where are you guys in his development? Is Andrew Vaughn ready for big league pitching?
The more I'm around this guy, the more I'm impressed. Obviously, he was well touted. We took him at the top of the draft. But the conversations you have, the way he goes about his work, the at-bats he puts together, he's got an approach that's going to be it's indication of success at the major league level. He took his walks yesterday. He's very patient. He's pole to pole. He's got power, but he hit. No moment is too big for him. So I think he's well positioned to help a major league club. And certainly he's going to get a strong look this spring.
Where will he play if he doesn't DH, Chris?
First base, DH. You know, I know we've talked before about, you know, getting work in at other positions at third base. Yep. And we've even had him in the outfield. But that's more so to just keep the athleticism, keep him sharp, make him the best first baseman we can. So I think you're looking at a guy that's going to get at-bats in both the DH and first base when the time comes.
Have you guys talked to Eloy about stadium awareness and where those nets are and where the warning tracks
are? Tell him to be careful, Chris.
We don't need him getting hurt.
That's right. We need that bat in the lineup. We know what Louis Robert can do in center field and you know, the range that he provides. That communication is really important. Yeah. Unfortunately, the net sometimes doesn't have that same communication as a teammate. But we're working on it. And you know, those nets are new, too. They can be a savior, but all of a sudden they show up out of nowhere. But, you got to love Eloy, how he goes about it. He's a fun guy, great teammate, and what he can do in the box is pretty special.
Jake Berger, you briefly mentioned Jake Berger. It was pretty cool to see him yesterday. I mean, everything that poor kid went through, you know, snapping that Achilles twice, like, it's a great story just to get back to this point. Does he still have a role at some point, I guess, Chris? Like, where is he in his development considering everything he's had to overcome the last couple of seasons?
You know, I think he does have a role. You know, if you asked me a year ago or, you know, 2 years ago, I think there were some question marks. How is this whole thing going to play out? It was an emotional day yesterday, certainly for him and others that have been with him along this journey, what he's been able to overcome. Just to see him in action, there was nothing better. But, you know, the way he's moving around at third base, where he's running the bases, the focus will be in the box, facing pitching, getting back to the understanding the hitter that he is, making sure his movements are correct and reacting. He's always had a knack for making contact with the baseball. That is a nice recipe, a nice starting point. But you still look at what he can bring to the table. He's got a chance to still help us at the major league level. But this year, it's about getting him out there and competing, being around his teammates, getting some at-bats together, making plays, running the bases, just being the Jake Berger that we know he can be.
All right, Chris, before we let you go, I'll put you on the spot. Give us one name of, like, maybe that next wave that's still down in the minor leagues, but somebody that could pop this year, that you could come up and that maybe there's like a little sleeper that's going to help you guys contribute, that's like right on the cusp, ready to break through in the big leagues. Is there one guy that you think of when I ask that question?
There's a handful. And I anticipated this question because it's a fun one for everyone. You know, we've got a handful of relievers that are, I think, can jump. You got Gavin Sheets that's been talked about a lot, the left-handed bat, unfortunately wasn't able to have a season last year. Jonathan Stever got a taste last year. He's made some adjustments. He's got some confidence now. So I gave you a handful right there. But I'll throw Jonathan Stever out there. I don't know if that's one you're looking for because we've seen him in the past, but what I've seen so far, I've been impressed.
That'd be great. Chris, we appreciate the time. All the best on at spring training. Can't wait for opening day, all right?
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
You too. Thanks for joining us. There's Assistant General Manager and Director of Player Development for the Chicago White Sox, Chris Getz. 312-332-3776. If you want to jump in, we got some news over the weekend about the NFL and how they're probably going to 17 games that we want to discuss when we come back with you next.
Stream ESPN 1000 anytime through the ESPN Chicago app.
Listen to Carmen and Yurko. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
You know, we've got breaking news.
Breaking news?
Not worthy of a sounder.
Oh, it's not?
The first person from the ESPN 1000 Fantasy Football League has been paid.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. Yurko's been paid.
Yurko won the league? The winner has been paid?
No.
Oh, Yurko didn't win the league.
No.
By proximity, Yurko has been paid.
Got it.
Yeah.
He finished second.
But Sylvie
finished second.
Who has spoken out the most still has not been paid. And I got a feeling that there's some bad blood on this end from one Jeff Meller, who may not want to pay Sylvie until, you know, maybe he keeps quiet a little bit.
I mean,
about
what's
this.
Going on back here? We have private conversations back there, and all of a sudden these are on the airwaves?
Well, so, you know,
Loose lips sink ships, my friend.
Why,
or as the headline once read, Loose lips sinks Jackie Ship.
Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver. That's true.
Jackie Ship was a Miami Dolphins linebacker.
Sylvie's going after Jeff, so I'm trying to have his back here and say, you know.
Well, now, but you're letting the cat out of the bag.
Yeah, you've got Jeff's back here.
So now the money's been collected?
No. Some money has been collected. Oh. By proximity, Yurko
Because
paid
I was
out.
Here, he paid me.
This whole thing is a pain, though. I mean, guys need to learn how to pay.
This is why.
Well, listen, he doesn't want to be the commissioner next year.
I don't
know. I've said I'll be the commissioner. I'm not the treasurer.
You need
though.
A treasurer.
That has always been my case. I'll run the league, everything on site. That's fine. I'll take care of that for you.
Do you know?
I don't like chasing people down for money.
If like somebody in my fantasy football league came to me and said, "Look, we need a new commission, we need a new treasurer," I'd bail on the league. I'm serious.
Yeah,
I hate fantasy football anyway. Well, if somebody said, "Well, we need you to be the treasurer," I'd say, "You go find somebody else." There's no chance.
You're so good at it, and you talk like you love it.
Fantasy football? I hate fantasy football.
But you talk like you love it.
No, I don't. I hate it.
Facetious. That's all right. Sylvie has been nominated. He is going to be the treasurer next year. So,
oh yeah,
we're going to end these shenanigans. He's been nominated.
That would clean up.
Well,
he's the one complaining. I mean, that would clean up some of the issue.
So he could be a jerk when he's not getting his money paid. He also could be a jerk, and maybe you have to be a little bit of a jerk.
Yeah, Sylvie will crack some skulls. I will say,
he'd be a good treasurer.
He doesn't care about stepping on toes.
Right. To the point, he might get punched in the mouth.
Well,
but that's the risk you run. You know. Hopefully, you know, when you're being a jerk, you can find a way to go ahead and soft shoe it a little bit, too.
You mentioned the Loose Lips headline. Yeah. Did you guys see the back of the Sun-Times today?
I did not.
Wait a minute. It to me.
How's the pamphlet look today?
I mean, listen, I got to admit, it's not the first thing I do these days, but kudos to them, because I tweeted it out earlier today, and they have a picture of the White Sox, a few key members of their bullpen. Correct, right?
Yes.
And at the top, it says Kane scores 400th goal. And then you've got a picture of Liam Hendricks along with Evan Marshall and Aaron Bummer. And it says, Penn is mightier.
Penn is mightier.
Wow. The classic SNL Celebrity Jeopardy.
Yes.
Penis mightier.
Penis mightier. Yes. That's from who used to do that?
Daryl Hammond was the Sean Connery.
Sean Connery. Yes. Penn is mightier. Good on the Sun-Times. Yes. You got to sell those pamphlets so you get a little risque.
That's right.
Absolutely. All right, well, listen, figure it all out. I mean, I can't believe.
Let's figure it out. Yurko got paid.
We're good. I got paid. I got no issue.
How many people still need to get paid?
Delaney's going to get paid next.
I've never complained.
Delaney won the league. He'll get paid next.
So he finished third?
When Meller gets to it, Meller gets to it.
Sylvie finished in sixth.
Sixth place.
You get paid for sixth place? Oh,
he had the most
like
points
a progressive.
In the league.
Okay.
No, he had most points in the league.
Yes. I got you.
Which has got a nice little payday, but he was eliminated early in the playoff run.
Yeah. He choked when it mattered.
Right.
Sixth place, though?
Right.
Boy,
a lot of points.
Really?
A lot of points during the year, and when his team needed to perform in the playoffs, they spit the bit like Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks.
So as soon as Sylvie gets back in here, we'll get him paid.
Yeah,
when we see Sylvie.
Sylvie might be in soon.
That's what I've
heard.
We're
hoping. Fingers crossed.
Fingers are crossed. Of course, we won't see him.
Sometimes. I mean, he'll be down here by noon, 12:30 or so from time to time, I bet. I see Tommy every once in a while. By the way, somebody continues to draw penises on Waddle's car. First of all, Waddle's got to do a better job of cleaning the car. I mean, I walked by it the other day. It's filthy.
Yeah.
I mean, get the car washed.
Wait a minute. You walked by?
I walk by it every day.
Interesting.
I told him that.
Every day you walk by his car.
I walk by his car every day. I would have admitted to this months ago because it's brilliant. I wish I thought of it. Quite frankly, when I first heard him tell the story and he started thinking, well, could it be Meller? Could it be Carmen? They leave after I get here. I texted him. I said, I wish it was me because it's fabulous. Last week, I said, Tommy, I'm telling you, I can put it as plainly as I can put it. I swear on my kids, it's not me.
You know what? We keep looking within.
I think it's a listener that happened to park, that parks in our garage on a daily basis and saw one day, oh my God, there's Tom Waddle.
And
he sees what Waddle's driving and he sees the spot he parks in every day. And I think it's a listener having fun.
I think it could be somebody from ABC7. Could be their president, John Idler. It could be their president, John Idler, knows Tommy's car, loves Tommy.
Can you imagine John
goes
Idler
by every day
is drawing penises
and puts
on models?
A different type of phallus on there every single day.
I mean, can you imagine?
I secretly hope it's Tracy Butler.
Oh, my God.
I think we should do a poll to say who from ABC7 I mean, is drawing penises on Waddle's car.
Is there a security camera in that garage?
There are. No, I mean, absolutely there are.
There are not. There's areas. No? Yeah, there's.
Wow.
I was like,
well, I'm sure there's dark areas where you won't be able to find them.
Can we set up a camera?
A lot of stuff's covered.
I think the lobby areas have them. I don't know if lobbies do, but
they don't because I one time... slipped and I fell on like some oil or something like that, and I was
trying to sue him, and I was upset.
And I texted. This is years ago. And I was so furious, and I asked Mike Martins if he was handling, and he said, "Let me check." And he called me back. He said, "Yeah, they don't have any cameras, Randy. So you're out of luck on that one." So I was furious.
You were gonna call Howard Aiken? Were you getting ready to call us?
$3.126 million?
Our old producer, Billy Ochepka, had his car broken into. They broke the glass, went in. They had video of that, but it was a homeless guy.
Where did they get the video?
Where did they get the video?
They had a video because there was a camera in there.
I'm going to double check.
No cameras.
Yeah, they have cameras.
I'm telling you, Waddle thinks it's one of us. It's not us. I told him that I think it's and he said, no, that can't be. I said, Tommy, somebody probably saw you and goes, God, there's Tom Waddle.
I just decided
to have some fun with him.
I still think it's Waddle. I think he's.
Well, what kind of nonsense is that? Yeah. I mean, is he Tyler Durden-ing himself? Does he even know he's doing it?
He's had so many concussions in his history.
Do you think he's doing it?
He blacks out, draws penises on his car, and then all of a sudden he accuses Mellor.
So wait, you think he's not doing it as like a bit and he knows it's him? You think he's actually forgetting that he's drawing wee-wees on his own car?
Possibly.
I don't know. I don't think he's that out of it.
Well, that's a little bit far-fetched, my friend.
But yeah, he was a little accusatory.
So far-fetched it was the plot of a 1999 blockbuster.
Yeah. Part of one of the greatest movies of all time. He was a little accusatory again last week, and I was like, I promise you, buddy, it's not me. But I walked by his car and I go, it's filthy. No wonder why somebody's having a good time. I might walk up to it and write, wash me on it. Wash the car.
Please wash me.
It's got this beautiful car.
For the love of everything that is holy, will you please put some soap and water on me?
Oh, my God. Now, we've been totally sidetracked here. I wanted to talk about
that's
17 games in the NFL. It's not my fault. Merkin starts talking about who's getting paid in the fantasy football
league. I know. And then he starts ratting out the conversation that was happening in there.
It sounds like that was a
By the way, since we don't have enough time to get to, we'll do that next segment. Shout out to all the PGA golfers, the LPGA golfers, the workers at the Puerto Rico Open who all wore red. For Tiger.
That was a nice touch.
That was awesome.
I think Tiger really appreciated the gesture and the sentiment. I mean,
Tiger's tweet has over 415,000 likes.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that was really nice. I mean, Tony Finau showed up with the backwards cap and everything, just like Tiger. The real shout out also goes to Yurko.
We have the clip.
Do we have it?
JR put it in. I don't know where. We have it.
This is on the Golf Club podcast that we did last week, previewing the workday, the WGC workday. This course has already picked up a pretty, nasty reputation of being incredibly difficult, and it's not that old of a golf course. But he won a national championship on this course. He's 20-1. I'll say Bryson this weekend.
All right, he's going to go with Bryson. I'm going to go with a guy that was working on his game and is kind of just trying to get it to come into form. I'm going to go with Morikawa. That's where the good kid's going to go. Now, know this. The story of this tournament, you want to talk about length, is the greens.
Yeah.
The party starts once you get to the greens.
They can mimic a couple famous holes in greens, right?
Jack Nicklaus will tell you. He built this course along with Tony Jack. We had mentioned that. You've got to be on the right spots of the greens to be able to make birdie. There's good places to be depending upon pin position. And if you're not in those good positions,
you're going to struggle.
Three putt city is what you're going to have here.
Yeah, they say it's a tough course.
Yeah, so I got Morikawa as the guy I'm going to go with.
Morikawa.
Fascinating. Not only did he nail Morikawa,
he wins.
I watched so much of that golf tournament. He was so spot on about the greens as well. Because
what do you think I do?
That's a tough golf course.
There was certain guys who were putting for eagle who ended up putting the ball off the green into the bunker.
That's a tough golf course. I didn't hear anybody complaining about the wind either. Nonsense.
Victor Hovland did on 9 on Friday was unbelievable. And then I thought it was kind of weird they're giving so much credit for talking afterwards. He talked.
He's a golfer.
What a class act. I'm like, really?
I disagree. And Bryson, my pick of Bryson, he just had a terrible round one. Bryson shot like a 64 the next day, a 63. and came back and was, you know, but he blew up on round one.
It's a four-round tournament, guys.
Well done. Colin Morikawa, you could have gotten about 33-1 if you would have taken your
advice. A lot of money, guys. Right,
please,
what am I going to do?
Don't sidetrack me next. 17-game schedule. All right, can I talk about this coming up next in sort of the somewhat convoluted way that they're going to put a 17th game on the schedule for all these
Colin
teams?
Morikawa.
We'll discuss that when we come back next.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko
on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, so get ready for 17 games, right? That's coming. 17 games is probably going to happen in 2021. Not two byes, 18 weeks, 17 games. So, like we have now, 16 games, 17 weeks, they're still going to have one bye.
They've got to start on Labor Day then.
The Super Bowl, Peter King speculates, will be moved to February 13th. This is going to be pretty late. You don't like that? It is late.
I'm not a fan of it. Beginning of September, start your football. What are you waiting for?
Do they not want to start the same weekend as college, or does that not really matter?
No, it's the Labor Day. They don't like the Labor Day holiday.
People aren't home.
Yes. Yeah.
That's part of it.
And it's usually a lull in the ratings period.
Right, correct. Yeah. Well, it's coming, though, and the Super Bowl will probably be moved, and yes, it'll be later and later because of that, if they're going to add a 17th game. I thought it was interesting reading Peter King's story this morning about how they're going to configure this. So this is what Peter writes. When the NFL was choosing options, the formula that prevailed, follow me now, was AFC versus NFC cross-conference matchup from 2 years ago, and then the 2021 matchup based on the 2020 standings. Now that you're totally confused, here's an example. It's actually not that confusing. I get it. The four AFC West teams played the four NFC North teams in 2019. We know that. Bears played in London against the Raiders. Patrick Mahomes came to Chicago and flashed 10. Remember that in December? Everybody remember that game? So in 2020, Kansas City finished in first in the AFC West. Green Bay finished in first in the NFC North. So in 2021, it's AFC West against NFC North, and one versus one from 2020 becomes Green Bay versus Kansas City. I'll bet you a Kroll's West cheeseburger and an ice-cold Spotted Cow that the networks will brawl over this ratings gold game. This game alone is reason enough to get the league to rush the 17th game onto the 2021 schedule. Yeah, that'll be a marquee game. I don't know how they fight over the how the league and the TV partners do fight over that. I mean, everybody's going to want, every network is going to want Mahomes versus Rodgers.
So, first of all, Monday Night Football would want it, and Sunday Night Football would want it, and Thursday Night Football would want it. So every one of those three properties wants
it. After that.
Depending on where the game's played, if it's played in Green Bay, usually that's a CBS game.
Right.
If it's played in Kansas City, usually that's a Fox game. So who's going to be fighting for it? It'll be the three premier games, if you call Monday night, Sunday night, and Thursday night the premier games.
Yeah.
And then the one that'll be fighting is the one that has it, trying to keep it from the other.
Mm.
And if one side, I think during the football season, there's 16 games, and one side gets like 10 and the other one gets 6, depending upon scheduling nuances, they can actually steal a game.
Right.
But it wouldn't be the premier game. They would get a game to go ahead and help fill their schedule where it's no worse than 9-7.
Hmm. Well, how do you think they'll determine home field for that? That is one thing that I don't know. You're like, where does that game get put? Like, if they do this formula, the Bears play the Raiders again next year, 2021. Because the AFC West, like Peter wrote, played the NFC North. The Raiders were the second place team last year. The Bears were the second place team. Both were 8-8. Raiders missed the playoffs. Bears made it by virtue of being in the NFC. The Bears will play Vegas. Does that mean we could potentially go to Vegas to see the Bears play?
Could be, yeah.
Be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, we might have to rethink our trip to Tampa to see Tom Brady.
It's one of the randoms. When you're playing the division, you get two there and two here. They just figure it out, and that's the way it is.
Yeah, I wonder how they go about doing that. Do they do, like, strength, like a record thing?
And it's not about fairness. I played Dallas 7 straight times in Dallas.
Which is crazy.
At least 6 straight times in Dallas, for sure. 3 of them were in the playoffs.
Right, 3 were playoff games, so that makes more sense. Yeah. But, I mean, like, it is pretty wild.
3 straight in Dallas. They played 1991 against us in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
It's the only time they ever played. Time. It's the only time Green Bay came. Dallas came up there.
Boy, if the Bears get Vegas added to the schedule and the game is there again, I don't know how they would determine that.
So the question is, would they have to the next year, the following season, the teams that were on the road for that 17th automatically be?
No, because it'll be different.
It'll be they'll have a different set of circumstances.
I'm trying to think it through. If you're an NFL owner and for a home gate, I don't see how you do it in a way. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't know how you do it so that it's equitable, so that if you're not alternating every other year to having nine home games.
No, I see what you're saying. You'd almost, if you're the owner, you're going to fight for, hey, every other year we need to be, need to have the extra home game.
The year before, you're going to have 16 teams that were home, 16 teams that were away. You're going to have two teams that are away play each other. There's a guarantee. Two teams that were away are going to play each other.
Oh, so how do you
who
do
gets
it?
The home, who gets
that's
the home?
Why I wonder if
that's tricky.
I wonder if that formula will change after
this
the first year. This year it doesn't matter because there's no precedent to work off of,
right?
And whoever is the first season, but then the following year, I wonder if they just adopt a scenario where they, if you were home the previous, you know what I'm saying? There's got to be a rotation.
They could go with a bigger split of the pie as opposed to what is the regular split of the pie during the season. You know, because one thing, when the NFL team leaves, they conduct their business. There's a check handed over. The home team gives a check
to the
visiting
team?
Team's business people.
There, really?
There you go. Yeah. Or they do wire transfers now. I'm sure they can do that.
It is
Venmo,
kinda,
Venmo me, yeah.
Venmo. They'll just Venmo or QuickPay. PayPal. It is kind of odd that you're going to have an unbalanced schedule going forward, though. I mean, do they not just go to 18 at some point and make it easy peasy? I mean,
of course the NFL owners are down for that.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, listen, the NFL owners are for it, too. The players, most teams don't get to play 19 games or 20 games. You would put a scenario out there where you could play 20 games. Most teams don't get to do that.
You know,
over half the league is eliminated.
Right.
18 teams don't play any extra games whatsoever. Yeah, sure. I keep hitting this thing and it's driving me crazy.
Seth Wickersham and Don Van Natta just last week, I think it was Friday, they published a piece about DeMurray Smith. And, like, the previous CBA negotiation where a lot of people talk about how the players really got the screws put to them. And in that, they talked about, like, the biggest thing being the 18 games and the 17-game schedule. And they go in-depth quite a bit about how...
One of the owners said DeMurray Smith is the greatest, like, advocate for the owners that they can have.
Correct.
Yes.
And they talk about 18. It seems like 18 games will be inevitable. It's just,
can you make it equitable for the players?
Well,
you're adding roster
spots.
It's
a matter of the players.
Jobs.
The players will always give up something to get money back. And, you know, when the next CBA comes up.
Hey, look, you're eliminating the ridiculous preseason, which is probably good for the players, right? Most players would probably like that, especially the more veteran guys. You're going to get reductions in probably preseason, you know, practice. It's already pretty limited, but you'd imagine that's all part of the negotiation.
Yeah, but if you're still there for 6 weeks, you're still doing something. The games were actually a break from the
monotonous and mundane,
you know, the 6 weeks we're sitting in camp. Hey, it's a break. You got to travel someplace. You got to go do something. It was somewhere different. Well, if you were a starter, you were only playing one quarter anyway.
But that's always, too, an easy give for the ownership. Fine.
Right.
We'll give away. We don't have to put up extra additional costs for having players in where we have to provide for them, whether it's meals, all the extra additional costs that go with training camp. That's an easy give for ownership. If you're willing to give them another game on the back end, they're always for it. The only people who are upset are coaches, right, Yurko? Because they're the ones who lose the ability to install and practice with their players. But the ownership's like, we don't give a damn.
Right,
as long as the product's out there making us money.
Well, if they go with this formula, the idea of a Mahomes-Rodgers matchup is pretty awesome. That is already going to be coupled with the matchup that will happen regardless. I mean, Tom Brady, as the champion, is going into New England in 2021. Can you imagine?
I do.
Tom Brady's going to Foxborough, and I'll take another Bears-Raiders game, especially if it means the Bears play out there and it's a trip to Vegas.
Remember this about New England. They get seven defensive players that opted out back.
New England, that's correct.
New England. Seven guys that opted out back.
They got to find a quarterback. The top 100 NFL free agents. Where does Allen Robinson appear on that list? We'll tell you when we come back next.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Get Carmen and Yurko podcasts on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
I'd like you to meet a real inspiration.
Carmen and Yurko, ESPN 1000. This is breaking news, powered by PointsBet Sportsbook on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Let me guess. Is it franchise tag related?
No.
Oh. Do I have the right sport?
Yes.
Ooh, Billy, Billy. This is a big one, Billy. 80,000. It's football. Russell, something about Russell Wilson.
No.
Deshaun Watson.
No.
All right, who is it? What is it? What's the breaking news?
Adam Schefter has tweeted this out. I think JR said J.J. Watt also tweeted it out. J.J. Watt is signing with the Arizona Cardinals. Per J.J. Watt. Yes, per J.J. Watt.
What?
J.J. Watt, yes.
J.J. Watt?
Is signing with the Arizona Cardinals.
You know, he just couldn't stand to be away from DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, that's really what it's all about. So much for the Peloton, like Cleveland, Buffalo, Green Bay.
That wasn't him.
He came out and said that he doesn't even own a bike. So that was
that was somebody. KJ Watt was their Peloton.
Yeah,
not
Cap
JJ.
Told me it was JJ Watt.
No, it was somebody.
Shocking! Shocking! The Cap.
Listen, it was somebody. It was Cap got by Peloton.
Cap got. He got
by Peloton.
Oh my God! All right, so that wasn't JJ Watt. He doesn't. I was going to say JJ's a big guy to be on a Peloton. You know.
Well, I mean that's.
It doesn't matter.
On one.
Yeah, actually,
you got to set the seat higher. Yeah.
It's better for your knees if you're going to.
Much better. That's true.
And the other breaking news, the original one, is through Shams tweeted this out that it looks like Joakim Noah has announced his retirement from the NBA.
That's not too much of a surprise at this point, right, Joe?
Hopes to retire as soon as a Bull.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Sign him to a one day, right?
Yeah.
Shouldn't they do that? That's a no-brainer. Retire as a Bull. I think they absolutely should do that. J.J. Watt signing with Arizona, guys. Interesting. Top free agent quarterbacks according to Pro Football Talk. Second straight year, Dak Prescott number one. Not really a surprise, right? Dak's technically a free agent. They can franchise him again. We'll see what happens.
Right.
I think that's probably a pretty good choice. Number two on the list. Bears wide receiver Allen Robinson, the number one in their top 100 free agent list for 2021. Three Buccaneers in the top 10, and that's not a shock. Everybody knew it. Shaq Barrett, Chris Godwin, and Lavonte David.
They're not going to be able to hold on to Chris Godwin, I think.
Probably not.
They already talked about him taking a subcontract, you know, something just to sign back. Don't you want to be a part of this? No, you want to get paid as a player. That's what you want.
Yeah, I mean, he's a young player looking for that first big deal.
Want to get paid.
I would think he needs to get out there and go get paid.
Right.
I wouldn't.
And I think he will. You brought Antonio Brown in. Congratulations. He's here. You can do whatever you want. I'm a young player. I'm moving on. I'm going to go ahead and catch passes. Would you be interested in Chris Godwin if you were in Chicago?
If they lose Allen Robinson, sure.
Why is everything if you lose Allen Robinson? Why can't I have two stud receivers?
Then, sure. Let me rephrase.
Thank you.
Yes. I don't think they can afford both of those guys, can they, Yurk? Yeah, there's no way.
You got to go ahead and cut some of the.
Then you got to have Nick Foles as your quarterback.
You got to cut some of the fat off of your defensive side of the ball.
Which fat do you want to cut, though?
The one that gets me the most available money, whichever piece of fat that is.
Connor, real quickly, Schefter is saying it's a 2-year, $31 million deal that includes 23 guaranteed for J.J. Watt.
So J.J. Watt off the list. He was number 11 on Pro Football Talk's list, by the way, but he's off the list. And they're already announcing it. They can't officially announce until, March 17th, probably, when the new league year begins.
The new league year begins.
J.J. Watt will be an Arizona Cardinal. Let's add a Randy in Indiana. What's up, Randy?
Randy.
Going once, going twice. Randy gone. Back to who is drawing penises on Waddle's car in the garage. This is months now. We still don't know. Andy Fry says, my guess is Tracy Butler. Huge Steelers fan. Waddle's from Cincinnati. Interesting.
Could be
Tracy Butler.
That's right.
I think Tracy's appalled by the accusation.
Have anybody looked at the thickness of the writing to be able to dictate what we may be looking
at?
Boy,
you're like a detective. You're like Sherlock Holmes over
here. At the end, too. At the end, when you're done writing, usually a fingerprint is left.
Yurko's like Sherlock.
Anybody thought about
that? The idea that if it's real thick writing, it could be like a meaty paw of a hefty individual.
That's right.
Wow, that's a...
So the thickness of the outline of the penis.
No,
could be an indicator.
The thickness of the writing.
I understand. The outline of the penis.
I said the outline.
The thickness of the outline of the drawing.
What the hell? Where's your mind at?
Come on, man. Be a professional.
What's going on with Carmen?
Such a juvenile.
My heavens, like an infant. So I got actual, like, forensic stuff that I'd like to take a look at.
I agree.
And Carmen's thinking about Pepe.
Come on, Carm.
Will you get your mind off the Pepe, please?
Oh, my God.
God.
The artist like a Jonah Hill from Superbad? Do we know?
Because every time we walk by it, all you see is it's scribbled out. Like, you can tell Waddle has taken his finger and has, you know, kind of like X'd over. He's erased the dirty part of the window.
Why is... his car's filthy anyway. As well continue on.
He doesn't want...
I mean, here's the one way to get rid of it. Water! Water and soap would be one great way to get rid of it.
He just takes his finger and rubs it off.
The hell is wrong with
that? Sounds bad, too, by the way.
So he's... interesting. Yeah, exactly. That's an interesting way to do it.
That sounds
his
bad.
His car looks like Eddie Murphy's car in 48 hours. You come back and visit it after he got out of the pokey and it was all dusty.
Busted Waddle's chops. I love it. All right, so that's about it for us today. Any other stuff from the weekend we missed, gentlemen?
What game was that?
Well, Baylor lost, first of all. Baylor did lose their first game.
Baylor lost. Illinois almost blew it against Bucky yesterday, but they held on and won. Oh, and Jokic in the building tonight. We didn't spend too much time on the Bulls, but tomorrow I think we should talk a little Jokic, Bulls. They lost on Friday night, so we had to...
How about the Bulls fly to Tampa? Is that where the Raptors are playing? I don't know where the Raptors
are. The Raptors are playing in Tampa.
And they had to fly back.
And they got postponed last night.
Right.
Correct. Yeah.
But they do have Denver tonight, and I want to talk more about Jokic tomorrow.
Did you see the NBA disaster Friday night between the Hawks and the Thunder?
No.
The Hawks had on red jerseys. The Thunder had on orange jerseys. At halftime, the Thunder had to switch to the white jerseys because...
How does a mistake
Neither team could tell. I don't know. It's the NBA.
I think St. Louis yesterday had red jerseys on, and they differentiated the team with white pants and gray pants. It was an intra-squad game.
Yeah.
They were both playing each other.
Right.
Both had red jerseys.
That's for baseball, right?
You're, right. Yeah.
Like basketball.
Basketball's
tough. You're passing the ball to your teammates. Yeah. You may want to know whose jersey is what.
I was just noting another weird... uniform situation.
Thanks to Chris Getz from the White Sox, their assistant general manager, for joining us and discussing White Sox baseball with us today. Another game later today. We got a game back on the air tomorrow live at spring training, so you'll catch Len and DJ and Connor McKnight for that. Great job, as always, by Midway Jeff Meller, Jarrett Strauss, and Randy Merkin. And thanks for listening, calling, and participating. Greeny's next. Waddle and Sylvie at 2. Black and Abdallah at 6. We'll see you tomorrow. I've got the final word today.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have the last word
on Carmen and Yurko.
If, like, somebody in my fantasy football league came in and said, "Look, we need a new commission, we need a new treasurer," I'd bail on the league. I'm serious. I hate fantasy football anyway. Well, if somebody said, "Well, we need you to be the treasurer," I'd say, "You go find somebody else."